This podcast is supported by Progressive, a leader in RV insurance. RVs are for sharing adventures with family, friends, and even your pets. So if you bring your cats and dogs along for the ride, you'll want Progressive RV insurance. They protect your cats and dogs like family by offering up to $1,000 in optional coverage for vet bills in case of an RV accident, making it a great companion for the responsible pet owner who loves to travel. See Progressive's other benefits and more when you quote RV insurance at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Pet injury is an additional coverage and subject to policy terms.
My guest today is Russ Freshtek. He's here to talk about his review of Destiny Rise of Iron. My name is Justin McElroy, and you're listening to Polygon's Quality Control. Welcome back to the show, Justin. Gosh, 3 weeks gone. It's so nice to have you back. Charlie did a great job, but I'm just really happy to have you, Justin, back on the show. Hi, Russ.
I thought you were going to do the whole show on yourself.
No. Really cool. I thought it'd be fascinating.
Yeah.
But I did. Charlie did a great job while I was gone.
He did a lovely job.
I think we're probably going to alternate weeks just to give you everybody some new flavor.
Charlie's Flavor. Far taller than you, so I think that's a real asset.
He's got a better voice. Russ, my big complaint with Destiny has always been the extent to which content is sort of mercilessly recycled.
Yes.
And remixed, I think, even more accurately. I think the most notable thing is enemy types. It is baffling to me that so few actual, genuine, new enemies have been released into this game that are not like reskinned versions of old enemies.
Sure.
It's baffling. At one point during Rise of Iron, after paying my $30 to play, I realized that I was in a remixed strike hunting, shooting at remixed enemies with a remixed gun. From the original Destiny.
Did you say remix?
It's all so cyclical.
I can't. The hotel lobby.
I can't help but feel it's intentional. So my first question to you is this.
Yeah.
What do you think Rise of Iron is attempting to say about like the cyclical nature or the repetitive nature of Destiny? Because
I thought you were going to say like, of life in general.
It's like unfathomable to me that this is where we are at. By the way, the new patrol area is also a remixed version of another patrol area.
Yeah. You know, they won't publicly say this, but I think it's pretty clear that the bulk of the team working at Bungie, I think it's about 600 people, if I recall, is working on Destiny 2. And generally, you know, when that happens, you have to reallocate resources and come up with a product that is viable with the number of people that you have. And that includes not necessarily completely introducing wholly new content. Now, let me preface that by saying I think Taken King did a very good job, even though I agree with you. It did have familiar enemies you were fighting. They were so dramatically different in the ways you interacted with them that I really honestly felt like it was a completely new, like, quote, race. But that being said, I do agree with you. So in Rise of Iron, we're introduced to the Splicers, which are like an offshoot of the Fallen. And I would say they are 90% exactly the same Fallen that you've been fighting for 3 years or two years, whatever it is. And what you say about strikes is also true, is that effectively there's only one new strike in the game. The other two that were brought up to year three are reworked strikes that we've seen before. But it's weird, Justin, because, you know, I don't think I've ever played a single game for this long. I played World of Warcraft for about 6 months, you know, going obviously off and on, but going on 2 years now, I've been playing Destiny. And it's weird how, and maybe it's Stockholm Syndrome, but it's weird how those familiar encounters are almost welcoming in a way that, like, I feel like I'm the master of them. It's almost like playing Mario World 1-1 over again, to the point where I can just, like, fully dominate, like, any strike in the game now, and it's kind of satisfying. Mm-hmm. Is that weird?
It's not weird. It's like, and I don't think that even like Stockholm syndrome. I'm more disappointed, I guess, in myself because I don't know how little they would have to do to keep me from buying. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't know how little it would have to be before I'd be like, wow, how much? Like, can you agree? And I don't normally get into like valuation conversations. Sure. I think that's really
no, but it's interesting because
like it $30 means something different to everybody. So it's really hard to like.
And
say
they
that
made
broad.
A delineation. They made a valuation decision, which is to say this game is $10 less than Taken King. So they clearly have like a dollar amount in their head in terms of value. So I think it's worth talking about.
But it's wild, like. Half the price of a new AAA video game.
I don't.
Like it's insane.
I don't. Having played a lot of AAA video games, I'm not bothered by the value of it. Like, I know how much time I've spent playing just Rise of Iron and what has entertained me, and I'm not bothered by it. Honestly, like, the strike alone, I think, is worth $10 right there. And I'm sorry, the raid alone. And I realize you haven't played the raid, you're too early, but the raid is spectacular. It's probably my favorite raid in the entire series.
How much pressure is that for you as a reviewer, knowing you have to get to a point where you can like do the raid before you can get this review out?
Oh, it sucks. It's terrible. Yeah. I realize there's I don't want to complain too much because obviously there are worse jobs, but essentially, so we were going on our all hands trip to Chicago. So I had like a very hard stop before my flight took off where I had to finish the raid. The raid launched on Friday afternoon and I needed to fly out on Sunday morning. So I essentially had a day and a half, but even the lead up to that, was just like brutal. Cause I was, you know, essentially mainlining it to try to get high enough. And it's tough because you want to extrapolate like what it feels like for a normal human to play it and not me as a reviewer that's racing through it. But yeah, it was just crummy. It's not how I would prefer to experience
it. Imagine how hard it is to get like no drops after finishing a strike or something. And then imagine that like every one of those you get is like condemning you to have a worse day.
Right. Like it's like another hour down the tubes. Yeah, it's weird. I would probably say if I was just doing it for fun, I'd probably still try to mainline it just because my friends would have like, there's a peer pressure element to Destiny, which is like you will be left behind if you don't sort of keep pace. But it's sucky to have to mainline stuff like that.
It's interesting, though, that you say that and it's true, but it's only sort of true in the short term. You know, like I bailed on Destiny in the last round a lot quicker than some people did.
Yeah.
A lot of people hung in there longer, but I hopped back on quicker than some people and had like outpaced them because of the way Destiny just sort of discards everything that came before every time there's a new add-on.
Yeah, if you haven't played, you know, if you're at whatever 280 light and you haven't played Taken King in like a year, you can get up to pretty comparable level within, I would say, 4 to 5 hours of anyone that like played Taken King right to the end and like hit max level. Which is fine. That doesn't really bother me. It's the nature of MMOs do the same exact thing. You know, those people obviously got a lot of value out of the game that they were playing and enjoyed themselves. I was certainly one of those people. But that's just the nature of how they've sort of built the game is to let people play catch up and be able to catch up with their friends, which I think is a good thing.
We've got a few questions here from people. Interestingly, not as many as I sort of maybe would have assumed from like previous like response to Destiny.
Yeah.
I don't know if you anecdotally you've seen that to be the case, like less of a response.
Yeah, I think each release whittles down the number of people playing. Taken King actually might have, I don't know actually whether the numbers increased for Taken King, but this release in particular, I mean, even Bungie has really like, they haven't downplayed it, but it's definitely not as big of a release as Taken King was. And that level, I think, has sort of soured expectations. And also the fact that the sequel's on the way, I think a lot of people are just like, well, I got the idea. I'm going to wait until the sequel.
Well, it's ironic, though, and I don't think that Bungie has done a good job messaging this, because I always tell people there's never been a better time to get into Destiny.
At the supermarket,
when people are like, what game should I get? I'm like, have you played Destiny yet? Because it's like a very good time to get into Destiny always. Like you get, especially when they start like bundling like all the old content and stuff. There's a ton of really good things in there if you haven't done them before.
You know, years ago, NBC had a thing called Must See TV. And during the summer, they ran an ad where they said, if you haven't seen it, it's new to you. So true about Destiny. Maybe, yeah.
So
true.
So this question is kind of along those lines from Spencer. It says, I only got into Destiny about 6 months ago. How does this expansion, armor, raid, etc., compare to the others?
I guess if he got in 6 months ago, he probably played Taken King. He might have played the other expansions too, but he probably didn't even realize he was playing through them because they're very short.
Right, right.
I think it's a pretty straightforward answer, which is to say, I think the raid is the best raid they've done. It's not 10 times better than the other raids, but it's an excellent raid, and I think they did a very good job. The rest of the game is sort of like, it's fine, not great. It's okay. It feels like the campaign feels very short and kind of underwhelming. The writing is not super good in the way that Taken King's writing was quite good. And as you said, Justin, like a lot of the content, including the enemies, feel very recycled. And it just doesn't stand out as much as Taken King did.
I do want to dwell on the writing for a second, because that is like, it's one of the hardest. I think it's the one that hurts the most with this expansion, because it seems like Destiny was a little bit of a mess when it got started. And much of Destiny's story has been about the people playing Destiny, learning gradually, like what kind of game they have made and like the best way to exploit that. And it seems to me as though it's all been moving on sort of an upward curve. Yeah. You know, the gear gets smarter. Light level is so much smarter than how things used to work. And the dialogue has been heading on that same arc too. And this for the first time is like, oh, wow, it really went off a cliff, I think, a little bit.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. I mean, it's not just the dialogue. I think the overall story is a bit of a mess and very hard to discern. I mean, to give you an idea, when I played through the raid, we got to the final raid boss, and I had no earthly idea who the hell I was fighting or why, for that matter. Like, no clue. And that is a huge sign that they, you know, maybe it was buried in Grimoire and all sorts of stuff, but in terms of what you're presented with in game, you just are not given enough information, and that's a big problem. And like, sure, they didn't have Nathan Fillion to like offer the charm and stuff like that, but even the other expansions had like a very cohesive story that was easy to follow, and you understood why you were doing the things you were doing. And here it just sort of is not, and it's helmed by Lord Saladin, who is just like the most dry, dull, we're just doing it for honor and blah, blah, blah. It's just like, it's not interesting at all. And it, you know, I think quirkiness and fun plays as a nice contrast to the world of Destiny, which tends to be very serious. And this expansion has no quirkiness and fun.
It's just one other thing that hacks me off about Destiny. But the gear is so awful. Like, it looks so terrible. Everybody in Destiny looks like a bunch of fucking space Macklemores raiding the galaxy's thrift shops. It is a nightmare.
I actually do not agree with you there, insofar as I think what's cool about this expansion is that they brought back a lot of the year one armor, to the extent that you can really have a lot of, and the way the infusion system works, you can have a lot of control of how your guy looks. So I actually spent like a decent amount of time infusing specific parts of gear only because they looked cool. And I'm pretty happy with the outcome. I agree that people can look absolutely outrageous if they want to, but I think they actually did a good job with that.
You know, it's funny. I realize that I'm grasping here a lot. But I don't have a relationship with Destiny like I do with any other game. Like, no other game do I feel this way about. Like, what makes me mad about Destiny, the reason I like grouse about it, is that I almost feel like it's a trust at this point. Like, I have to trust that they'll do the right thing, because I have to buy, like, I'm so deeply hooked. Like, well, you know what I mean? Like,
if the core was not as strong as it was, you wouldn't give a shit. You would not care.
That's the thing about it. What's so great about it, too, at the same time, it's like, it's another excuse to play this game, which is, like, fantastic. Like, one of the, like, best feeling. I don't think there's been a better first-person shooter, like, in terms of feel. Like,
no, I don't think so.
Since Destiny. Like, it is still Destiny. It is still Destiny.
Yeah. No, it is spectacular. Even with all the kind of misled elements of this expansion, the core of Destiny is still very, very strong. And that, honestly, that's what keeps me coming back as well. Like, it's not story or even the raid. It's just like the minute to minute is super strong. And they spent the entire Halo series figuring out how to make a really satisfying shooter, and they did it.
Here's a question, and I think Jarv Dog is the handle here. It says, with rumors of Destiny 2 not porting characters, do you still recommend new players playing ROI for the short term? And it's an interesting question. Does my recommendation that it's always a great time to hop onto Destiny, does that hold true, or is it worth at this point, should people just kind of wait for D2?
Yeah, I think a good reason to pick it up if you've never played it before is if you've got friends to pick it up with. Like, if you've got a few people that you want to, like, start, you know, hell, you could start at the beginning and do all the expansions and all the raids and stuff like that and really, like, feel what the game has been about. If you are looking to play solo, I really wouldn't necessarily recommend it here, because it is, like, most enjoyed with other people. And if you're a newcomer, it's very intimidating, and there's like a learning curve in terms of how it works. They've made that learning curve less steep over time, but it's still intimidating, and you really will not get the full enjoyment out of the game if you're just playing solo, and there's plenty of other stuff you could be playing. But yeah, if you have a group of people that are willing to jump in with you, I think it's a good idea. You've got, let's see, a full year. I mean, it's a full year until Destiny 2. So
maybe. I mean, we don't even know for sure.
I would say with 90% certainty that Destiny 2, I mean, hell, it could be more, but it's not going to be less. So it's at least a full year. And they'll have events and stuff throughout the year. But I think, you know, that alone, I think it's, again, a very good shooter. And even if you play it for a month, I think you'll get a lot of enjoyment out of it.
You know, it's funny. A year or so ago, if someone had told me that, like, Destiny 2 was not going to port characters over, I would have thought them mad. But, like, at this point, the way that they are willing to just sort of disregard everything that's come before every time there's a new expansion out, like, I would be kind of surprised at this point if it wasn't a sort of full reboot with maybe some sort of, like, cosmetic carryover from one to the other. What do you think? What's your gut tell you?
Well, let me ask you a question before I answer that. When you say port characters over, what does that mean to you? Is it just the character model? Is it all of your gear? What does that mean?
What's interesting about that, right, is, like, the only thing that it would have been was gear. Like, obviously you spent so much time getting this thing, you know, of course it's going to carry over. Of course you're going to get some benefit from it if it's a continuous game. But, like, that certainly doesn't seem to jive with the ethos, like the design ethos for Bungie on Destiny.
Yeah, so my gut is that I think they're going to abandon all gear, like any armor, any weapons you found will be just gone. And I'm actually fine with that, because I think Destiny gear is very much defined by some of the mistakes that they made in year one that they were just sort of stuck with and had to live with. And by rebooting it, it opens up the floodgates for, like, all sorts of new perks that may not have been balanced with the year one perks, and all sorts of new aspects that, just from a design perspective, it's just much more freeing to not have to, like, worry about making everything compatible with stuff that came out 10 years ago. I would like to see, I think on a baseline, I think what people want to see, like, their Grimoire score carryover, which is just like a meaningless, stupid number that you earn while you're playing Destiny. One step above that would be some cosmetics. So, like, if you bring over some of your shaders or some of your emblems that you've unlocked, that would make me happy. And I think that would make a lot of people happy. I, you know, don't fully expect anything beyond that, and that's fine. I know what they've said about carrying your character over. maybe they'll have like a character model, so you have the exact same ugly, stupid face model that you picked 2 years ago. But beyond that, I wouldn't expect any sort of characters. And honestly, that's fine with me.
Right on. Russ, what else do you want to say about Destiny before I let you go?
Yeah, you know, Rise of Iron is a weird expansion, as we've said. It really takes a lot of dedication to get to the part that is like so astonishingly better than any other part in the game, which is the raid. And you need six people, you need to be at the light level, you need to be dedicated and all that, all sorts of stuff. And but getting there is just sort of like a very rote experience. I think they added a lot of nice features. I think private matches is a nice feature that probably should have been at launch, but that's fine. We're getting it now. And so they, you know, it feels like a quality of life improvement more than a overall, like, this is a brand new, wholly original experience. So whether that's something, I think that really mostly appeals to hardcore Destiny people that want that quality of life improvement. But, you know, everyone else that's like, I don't know if I should play this game or not. It's still a very good shooter. But in terms of like brand new content being super standout, I wouldn't say that Rise of Iron is that.
Right on. All right. Well, Russ, thank you so much for taking your time. I appreciate it.
Sure.
And thank you to you at home for listening. We hope you've enjoyed yourself. We will be back with you next Tuesday with another episode. But until then, for Russ Freshtick, my name is Justin McElroy, and thank you for listening to Polygon's Quality Control.